From a studio high above the clouds of the Okanagan Valley, this is the Cannabis Podcast. Exploring the world of Canadian cannabis culture, one toke at a time. Now, here's your host and bud tender, Gary Johnston.
And let me welcome you back to the Cannabis Podcast for one more time. Thanks so much for coming back. Maybe this is your very first visit. If it is, an especially warm welcome for you. Ahead, the next 30 or 40 minutes, we're going to talk about a whole bunch of things cannabis-related. But before we get too much further along, let me remind you this program is intended only for those 19 or older in your jurisdiction and is intended purely for entertainment and perhaps educational purposes. You should always consume your cannabis responsibly. In episode 146, Surrey finally gets some cannabis stores. They finally approve those. We've got a story on that. Another story on how some cannabis companies are tricking social media and allowing them to do a little advertising. Would you believe that there's been more excise tax paid for cannabis than alcohol? It's true. A cannabis company is looking towards the future for infused. How about some infused poutine? That's coming your way. Here's one that is kind of encouraging. Cannabis may help treat melanoma. And we have a listener-inspired cultivar corner today. Very special one, that is. That's very tasty, and I can thank my buddy Jordan for that. And then we got an interview today that talks about the first cannabis consumption space in the Okanagan coming April 20th down in Penticton. Jamie Miller Hayward is going to tell us all about that. That and more on episode 146 of the Cannabis Podcast. As usual, let me thank you for being here. I truly appreciate the fact that you are a listener. It's also an opportunity for me to thank my sponsors. At buymeacoffee.com/cannabispodcast, I want to thank Jordan, Jordana, and Kevin. Really appreciate that. And in fact, Jordan, well, I'll talk about him in a moment. There's some special reasons why I want to thank Jordan. And then at Patreon, I want to welcome a new patron, Lloyd. Lloyd has joined the patron family, and he joins Tony, Roger, Gage, and Rob. I appreciate the support at Patreon as well. Thank you so much. I truly appreciate it each and every time. We're off to 420intel.com for our next story, which many people may find of tremendous interest. Cannabis may help treat melanoma skin cancer. A recent in vitro study reveals that a cannabis extract can potentially decelerate the growth of melanoma cells and increase the rate at which these cells die. Researchers from Charles Darwin University and the Royal Melbourne Institute of Technology examined the process of programmed cell death induced by a particular cannabis extract known as cannabinoid PHEC-66, which is a concentrated form developed by MGC Pharmaceuticals in Australia. Published in the Cells Journal and partially funded by MGC Pharmaceuticals Limited, the study revealed that the cannabis extract interacts with receptors on certain melanoma cells, suggesting it could be helpful as a supplementary therapy for treating malignant melanoma. However, additional preclinical studies are necessary to thoroughly explore its potential and effectiveness. Melanomas are cancerous cells that originate from melanocytes in the epidermis. Although melanoma only represents around 6% of skin cancers, it is responsible for more than 80% of skin cancer-related deaths. This type of cancer has a high tendency to spread and can form tumors both locally and at distant sites. Additionally, it has demonstrated resistance to traditional treatments. Treatment options for metastatic melanoma are currently limited. However, there is evidence to suggest that certain naturally occurring compounds from cannabis plants, such as polyphenols, flavonoids, and terpenes, may possess anti-cancer properties that could be beneficial in melanoma treatment. Past research has shown that activating CB1 and CB2 receptors with plant-derived compounds can slow down early tumor growth in various cancers, as they act as mediators, triggering different molecular pathways. In particular, researchers investigated how PHEC-66 interacts with its receptors while specific blockers were present. These blockers selectively inhibit CB1 and CB2 receptors. By using these blockers, it was confirmed that the disease in growth induced by PHEC-66 is mainly linked to CB2 receptors in all tested melanoma cells. These findings suggest that the CB1 receptor may be involved to a minor extent in PHEC-66 activity, while CB2 antagonist significantly blocked PHEC-66 cytotoxicity in all tested cell lines. This study into the possible use of cannabis in treating melanoma offers a glimmer of hope in cancer treatment, Although the path to developing a new therapeutic approach is lengthy and demands additional rigorous scientific study, which may involve experiments on animals and clinical trials on humans. But there's an inkling, there's a hint that there may be further help from cannabis in another area in fighting another disease. We have to keep researching this plant.
From the cannabis-infused studio in the clouds, this is the Cannabis Podcast.
As governments are wont to do, there was an announcement made quietly at the end of February 14th. That announcement involved a bulletin promoting cannabis-friendly spaces and consuming cannabis on public patios. Now, of course, as a bit of background for that, as you know, we've spoken about it many times on the Cannabis Podcast, there needs to be some consumption spaces for cannabis, not just the fact that we can go and buy it legally. So here is the bulletin that came out on February 14th. The change applies to cannabis retail stores and producer retail stores. To support the legal cannabis industry in the province, the Liquor and Cannabis Regulation Branch, the LCRB, is making gradual changes to improve hospitality and tourism opportunities for the cannabis industry. With changes to the Cannabis Control Regulation, licensees are able to promote a place to consume cannabis or to spend time after consuming cannabis. Additionally, smoking and vaping cannabis on public patios is now permitted where smoking and vaping tobacco are already allowed, subject to local or indigenous government bylaws and other rules. There's a bunch more to that announcement, and I will post it at the Cannabis Podcast so you can read it for yourself. But at this point, I want to get some reaction to the fact that they are now permitting promote a place to consume cannabis or spend time after consuming cannabis. And I have somebody with me who has some comments on that. Jamie Miller-Haywood, welcome to the Cannabis Podcast.
Hi, Gary. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. I'm so glad you could join me because you've got some exciting news about what's happening at Cannabis Cottage. So why don't you give us the lowdown?
Yeah, we are so excited that we are going to be opening a patio out front of our heritage building that we have our shop in. We're going to have picnic tables. We're going to have a little stage for live entertainment. We are going to be marketing ourselves as the place to go hang out after work, to have a weed drink and a smoke, and hang out with the regulars, just like Cheers, but with cannabis.
Absolutely. Oh, that is fabulous news, Jamie. So obviously, you and the group decided to jump right on this without waiting too long.
Actually, Mariana Wolf is the owner of Cannabis Cottage, and this was her plan from the very beginning. So even when she put her business plan together, this was her intent. She knew she would have to wait out regulations, and she has been extremely patient, as we all have. But that day is finally here, and I'm so excited for her and for all of us to be able to experience this finally in our industry.
Absolutely. It's. I mean, we're 6 years into this. And we're just starting about being able to do that. So give me the layout. What's happening at Cannabis Cottage?
So we're going to be putting in a patio space out front, picnic tables and umbrellas and stage, like I mentioned. We are going to be hosting tons of events. We're already really well known for hosting a puff and paint event at least once a month at the cottage. And that has been a massive draw to our business and to the whole industry locally. So we're going to be expanding on that. We've got a puff and plant event coming up here soon. So we've got a garden shop that is on our street that's going to come down to our yard and teach us how to make Kokodama balls.
Cool.
And we're going to continue to expand on that. So we're going to have our official grand opening for the patio on 420, so April 20th this year. And it's going to be a huge celebration. We're going to be inviting multiple brands to do a mass pop-up. We're going to have demonstrations. We're going to have live entertainment. We're really looking forward to it.
I bet you are. And I have heard about the puff and paint before. I've seen a lot of the posts that you put up about the puff and paint, and that sounds real cool. Let's talk about that for a little bit. Give us a sample of what happens at Puff and Paint at Cannabis Cottage.
So at Puff and Paint, you purchase your tickets from our shop, and that includes all of the materials, the instruction from Snow and Swirl Bud Artistry. Tracy is a phenomenal Okanagan artist. Her oil paintings are, they catch people's attention because they don't look like paintings. They're so well detailed. Her attention to detail is beautiful. So the ticket includes the materials, the instruction, an infused beverage, and it is very often sponsored by a local brand to come and promote their products.
That's very cool. And now you're going to do Puffin Plant as well. Now, is that any kind of plants, or are you focusing on a particular plant in that?
So this one is going to be a Kokodama moss ball, which is, I believe, a traditional Japanese method of securing the plant root ball in soil and sphagnum moss, and then binding it with twine. So it naturally air prunes the roots.
So let me back up a little bit, Jamie. You and I have run across each other for a couple of years in the cannabis industry and various things that you and I have both been doing. What's your cannabis story? What first brought you to cannabis?
Well, I have been a consumer for many, 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 many years. But the decision to get into the industry was because when legalization happened, I truly believed that cannabis could follow in the same footsteps as the wine industry in the Okanagan when it comes to tourism, when it comes to that economic drive that we all benefit from. I believed that cannabis could take the same route, and I wanted to really be a part of that. I have personally been California sober for almost a decade, so it is important for me to embrace the healthy lifestyle that comes along with cannabis. And for lack of a better word, it's non-intoxicating. And I want people to just enjoy the relaxation without becoming so intoxicated as you do through alcohol.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's something that I think matters to a lot of us. So cool. Thanks for sharing that. I'm sure I'm going to come down and pay a visit once you're open. Get there on April 20th or not, hard to say, because there's probably some stuff happening around here too. I haven't checked into that yet. But thanks for sharing the news on it, Jamie. I think it's fabulous you guys are doing it. And congrats on getting it up and running and getting it up so fast. And April 20th, we'll be here before we know it.
It will, yes. It's going to go by really fast. And yes, if you are available to come down and check it out, please do. And anytime this summer, because we're going to be hopping all summer. So
nice.
Come on down. Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. If you haven't been down to Penticton, there's another reason for you to get down to Penticton. Visit Cannabis Cottage. And once April 20th is here, you can smoke some cannabis out on their patio and enjoy that gorgeous Okanagan sunshine.
Thanks, Gary.
Absolutely, Jamie. Thanks so much for sharing the news with us. And you enjoy the rest of your day.
Yeah, you too. Thanks.
One of the things that has been amazing about the cannabis industry in British Columbia since it was legalized on October 17th, 2018, is the disparity in the cannabis stores within municipalities. As in, there are still many municipalities that do not allow cannabis, have no cannabis retailers whatsoever. And a lot of those right now are in the lower mainland of British Columbia. This story from cannabisretailer.ca about a change. 12 cannabis stores proposed for Surrey. BC's second largest city is finally allowing cannabis retail stores. The city of Surrey released its draft plan proposing up to 12 cannabis stores in the city. The city has restricted the sales of recreational cannabis since legalization in 2018. The draft framework proposes to allow up to a maximum of 12 cannabis stores in the city, with two permitted in each of Surrey's six town centers: City Center, Guildford, Fleetwood, Newton, Cloverdale, and Simeu. This amounts to a density of 0.03 stores per square kilometer and a store-to-population ratio of 1 to 47,000. In comparison, Vancouver has a store-to-population ratio of 1 to 8,200. Other requirements of the proposed framework include: cannabis stores are only permitted in town centers and commercially designated areas, and are only permitted on commercially zoned land that allows retail stores. Cannabis stores could not be located within 200 meters from sensitive users and areas to limit exposure to children and youth. These include schools, community and recreation centers, parks and playgrounds, existing cannabis retail and production locations. The city has developed an application process for cannabis retail store proposals. If applicants meet all the pre-screening requirements, applications will then be reviewed and ranked. The following selection and scoring criteria are proposed to access candidates: experience of the operator, parking plan, parking and access plan, visibility, lighting and crime prevention design, signage and building face design, Surrey-based business. The draft framework is open to public feedback and the proposed policy will be brought forward to City Council. Vikram Shadiva, founder and CEO of Seed in Stone, was excited to see the draft proposal released. Up until now, Shadiva, a Surrey resident with a head office in the city, has been forced to open up cannabis stores in surrounding cities. We had been working with the city and the Surrey Board of Trade for a long time to allow cannabis retail, he says. Shadiva thinks the 12-store framework is a good start and understands the 200-meter distance requirements between stores. As the community gets more comfortable with cannabis stores and the population grows, the city will understand how it is being served. Cannabis is a commodity, and we want to serve the community. If we want to ensure people get access to safe product and we reduce the illicit market, it's very important to see convenience for the population in Surrey, he says. There is room for more stores, but at this point I understand the city is taking a cautious approach. Up until now, Surrey residents have been going to the surrounding cities like Delta, Langley, and White Rock to get their cannabis. But Shadiva doesn't think the 12 stores opening in Surrey will have much impact on cannabis businesses in those cities. At the end of the day, White Rock only has one store right now. It's not like there are a ton of stores in the surrounding areas. It comes down to the types of people, the people running it, the operator, how much customers like it, product selection, Shadiva explains. He's also excited to apply for a license in Surrey. As a local business owner with a head office since the beginning of legalization in Surrey, and having lived in Surrey for the past 25 years, I will for sure be pursuing a store here, Shadiva says. I have been part of the community for a very long time. Seed and Stone has also partnered with the Songhees First Nation. We're very dedicated to scaling the company to help create generational wealth for our First Nations partners. So finally, nice to see that BC's largest city, or second largest city, I guess, Vancouver is still a wee bit bigger, BC's second largest city is finally going to allow cannabis retail at almost 6 years into legalization. Sometimes the changes move so slowly.
THC, CBD, terpene profiles, what's in me? Oh, please explain to me. Cultivar Corner, Cultivar Corner, oh yeah. Cultivar Corner, please explain this stuff to me.
And now let me talk about Jordan. Because Jordan has provided something that I think means some extra recognition. Jordan is a supporter of the Cannabis Podcast through buymeacoffee.com. Jordan is in BC. That's as close as I'll get. I understand that we are still dealing in a world where not everybody can admit and shout to the world, like I do every day, that they are an imbiber of cannabis. So I'll call him Jordan. Jordan's in BC. Jordan sent me an email. No, he didn't. Apparently, I might be a little high as I'm reading this, but that's probably not a surprise to anybody. This is a letter from Jordan. And first of all, he says, please excuse the handwritten letter as my printer bit the dust. Jordan has been a longtime listener to the Cannabis Podcast. He's enjoyed the ride, listens to every episode, sometimes more than once, really enjoys the content. Thank you so much for that, Jordan. But here's what I wanted to get to. As a small token of gratitude, I enclosed a little sample of my freshly pressed craft flower rosin, solventless extraction with my Nug Smasher Mini pressed at 205 degrees Fahrenheit in a 120 micron rosin bag using the Bottle Tech method. 1 minute preheat under low pressure, 3 minutes pressed at 2 tons. Average yield on a 4 gram flower press is about 25% or 1 gram of rosin. And after extraction, the rosin is collected and whipped for 1 minute for consistency, then cold cured for a couple of days. Best enjoyed at a dab temp under 800 degrees. I hope you enjoy, Gary. And it's from Creasy Pink, Pink Kush and Bubba Kush, and some Gouda Berry. Now I will, in total transparency, I've already consumed one of them. I opened it up and I had a sample, put some into my Puffco. I can never remember the Puffco Proxy, that's it. Into my Puffco Proxy. Delicious. So I'm now just opening up the second package that Jordan sent. And we're going to share the experience of first getting it. Oh, my, my, my. Now, I don't have a listing on the terpenes, but goodness sakes, as soon as I pull that parchment paper apart. She's just singing. Oh, that's very, very aromatic, Jordan. Really, really nice. Well, I guess I have to take it the next step, don't I? Let me get the proxy out. Let me scrape off a little bit. It's not an official cultivar corner, but I think there's enough reason for me to sample some of this that this will be a cultivar corner of some form. So I'm just scraping off a little bit of that, and I'm going to stick that down on the bottom of my proxy, my Puffco proxy. And I need another damn tool to help finish that off. Unfortunately, I don't have a second one. So let me rework that, because I want to get it all down in the bottom there. Oh, geez, this stuff smells really nice. And, you know, I mean, Jordan talking about doing his own pressing. I know that Jeff over at Smoker Farms has got his own press. He's been pressing his own rosin. And many others have. I think it might be, this may be the year that the Cannabis Podcast has to go down that path and start doing a little pressing of our own. Okay, I got a little bit in here. And let's just do a sample. Let's see what this tastes like. Oh, that's not the temperature I want. Let me go to a, there we go. And I got just enough power to do one hit on this before I have to power up the proxy. Thank you so much, Jordan. I mean, really appreciate anybody who is supporting me, either by a listener or sending me some weed or send me some rosin. I really, truly appreciate it. I'm blessed. I am just blessed with the people who are supporting me doing this. In fact, that reminds me, we got some Chinese food this week, and in my my fortune cookie was this statement: you create your own stage. The audience is waiting. I think that's kind of apropos. And speaking of waiting, my Puffco proxy just said it's ready. Now I have to remember not to hold these in. Just take it in and quickly exhale it. Oh my, Jordan, that really tastes lovely. And of course, because you're dealing with the concentrates. It's a very fast rise. My Puffco just shut itself off after the first round. I took three hits of that. I'm going for one more round. Let me turn it back on again. I do not have enough power. No, I can get one more. We'll get one more. That is really nice. And here we go again. Okay. I think you've convinced me, Jordan, and everybody else who's heading down this path. I'm doing some squishing. That is, it just looks really nice, smells really nice, tastes really nice, and I have to say has given me a significant high. It wasn't my intent when I started recording this particular piece, but I guess as soon as I started talking about Jordan's gift, I had to kind of take that a little bit further and give it a sample. And what a delicious sample it was. Thank you so much, Jordan. Thank you so much to everybody. I truly appreciate that you were here, whether you're a listener, whether you're offering me some other support. In either case, thank you so much for being a part of the Cannabis Podcast family.
Sharing stories about good weed while trying good weed. This is the Cannabis Podcast.
Okay, I have to admit, as I started thinking about doing this story, my mouth started to water. This is a story from StratCan.com. A British Columbia-based cannabis producer is adding a new twist on a distinctly Canadian dish, a cannabis-infused poutine sauce that will be available for sale in Quebec. Rubicon Organics Incorporated, a cannabis producer with a focus on certified organic cannabis, announced today that its in-house brand, 1964 Supply Co., will be offering a cannabis-infused poutine sauce crafted with hash rosin. The new High Cuisine Poutine Sauce, available now at the SQDC for about $8, is a mix that contains two containers, each with 5 milligrams of THC. and can be heated in a saucepan with water before being added to your fries and cheese curds, or anything else for that matter. We're excited to bring this one-of-a-kind product to the Quebec market, said Melanie Ramsey, CCO of Rubicon Organics. Our cannabis-infused poutine sauce is not only delicious, but also provides consumers with a fun and innovative way to incorporate cannabis into their culinary adventures. Rubicon plans to expand distribution into other provinces in the coming weeks. Quebec has become a testing ground for more novel cannabis edibles that seek to conform to the province's strict rules. Quebec does not allow the sale of edibles such as candies, desserts, chocolates, or other products deemed as being appealing to those under the age of 21, the legal age of access in Quebec. Instead, edible products in Quebec have included cannabis bites made of dates, hemp hearts, sunflower seeds, currants, and cinnamon, as well as unique products like infused beets, beef jerky, sausages, ramen, black currants, spicy crackers, figs, and cauliflower. And we first heard about cannabis bites back in episode 140 in our conversation with Alexandre Poulon, who was the CIO of Jubilee Edibles out of Quebec, and first gave us the exposure to the differences in the Quebec cannabis market. The SQDC claims it cannot provide details on how well specific edibles have sold, but lists edible products in general as just under 1% of total sales in the 2022-23 year. So there you go, somebody else picking up the banner and doing something different like Jubilee is doing with cannabis edibles. And now Rubicon Organics is bringing poutine sauce, infused poutine sauce, to the Canadian cannabis market. Well, how Canadian is that? And the inspiration for today's episode is from Johnny Chronic's Cherry Bomb, a nice little sativa to keep us going. For the next story, we're going back to theounce.ca. This is a story written by my buddy David Wiley. One of the most frustrating challenges for those trying to promote their cannabis stores are outright bans by social media platforms. However, Ontario's Stoked Cannabis has found a funny little loophole that they've been successfully exploiting. An ad campaign called Next to Stoked involves the store's neighbors and piggybacks onto their social media accounts to distribute ads that would otherwise get flagged by Instagram and Facebook. It pushes the envelope, but it also gets the job done, says Lisa Biggioni, co-founder and CEO at Stoked Cannabis Co. It's one thing to have to adhere to the regulations. It's another to have to deal with social media companies when cannabis is legal in Canada, but they don't see it that way. She says she believes the ads are in compliance with the Cannabis Act. It wasn't that we were trying to skirt. Biggioni says Stoked has lost its Instagram account about a half a dozen times, an experience shared by many cannabis brands. Trying to place an ad through a cannabis-associated handle often results in an account ban. However, the Stoked ads were posted through accounts representing a nail salon, a used bookstore, and a local electrician. They went out and no one stopped them, even though there were numerous cheeky references, she says. It didn't surprise me that they slipped through, because it wasn't coming from us. I just assumed it would work. Neighboring businesses hopped on board as an opportunity to get some advertising for themselves without paying for it, says Biggioni. While Stoked is currently collecting data, the campaign's looking like a success. Stoked has seen an increase in loyalty signups, and they've had a few earned media stories, including this one. People are coming in and talking to us about the ad, she says. We waited a few weeks before we said anything, she adds, explaining they allowed the campaign to run for about a month for fear of the ads being removed. This was a pretty big venture for us, she says. The campaign was hatched after Biggioni met the CEO of Angry Butterfly, and they got to chatting about the challenges of advertising cannabis. The marketing company came up with the concept. The trickiest part was while we thought this could work, we weren't entirely sure until the ads went live and passed through all the different filters, says Bernice Lowe, VP, Executive Creative Director at Angry Butterfly. We had a plan B and C ready to go just in case. The geo-targeted 21-plus campaign launched last month across multiple channels, including paid sponsored posts and pre-rolls, evening radio, and select TSAs. But the story was kept out of the ad industry press until the media finished its run to ensure the news didn't reach the likes of Meta, Google, etc., so they wouldn't buzzkill the campaign. Stoked has 4 locations, 3 in Scarborough and 1 in Niagara Falls. And what an interesting approach to try to get around the weird oddities of social media, whereas, as indicated, cannabis, of course, legal in Canada, but Instagram and Meta and Facebook, of course, from the United States, where it is not nationally legal, creates all kinds of problems. interesting to see there's some innovation in being able to finally advertise some cannabis companies in Canada. And through the link that you'll find on the Cannabis Podcast, you can check out those ads for yourself.
Exploring the world of Canadian cannabis culture, one toke at a time. This is the Cannabis Podcast.
And for our next story, it's to mjbizdaily.com. This is a story written by their international editor, Matt Lamers. Canada's federal government collected more excise tax revenue from cannabis than it did from beer and wine last year. That comes as the parliamentary committee is recommending the government ease up on the cannabis tax. In the 2022-23 fiscal year, ending March 31st, the federal government received $610 million from excise duties applied to beer. According to the country's public accounts, which provides details on the government's financial operations, in the same fiscal year, excise from other products was $277 million from wine, $204 million from manufactured tobacco. So beer and wine excise revenue combined was $887 million. And federal excise duties from cannabis that year, meanwhile, amounted to approximately $894 million, of which $667 million was transferred to provincial and territorial coffers. That left about $227 million for the federal government in 2022-23. The federal government's share of the national excise cannabis levy has grown significantly in recent years. In the fiscal years ending March 31st, the federal government's share of the cannabis excise levy was, in 2018-19, $18.4 million. In 2019 and 20, it rose to $52 million. In 2020-21, it was $108 million, and in 2021-22, $160 million. Canada's cannabis levy has been subject to substantial scrutiny from the legal marijuana industry, which says the formula the government uses to apply the tax is disproportionate and unfair. In its report in advance of the 2024 federal budget, the House of Commons Standing Committee on Finance made 359 recommendations, covering everything from foreign to environmental policy and taxation. The committee proposed adjusting the excise duty formula for cannabis. It wants the excise duty changed so that it's limited to a 10% ad valorem rate, meaning 10% of the value of a transaction. The duty currently imposed on producers' dried cannabis is either $1 per gram or 10% of the value of the gram, whichever is greater. This could end up amounting to upwards of 30% of cannabis revenue. For example, Toronto-based cannabis producer Organigram Holdings reported gross sales of $233 million for its fiscal year. And that same year, the company's federal excise bill amounted to $72 million for an effective excise levy of 30%. Recommendation 156 asked the government to provide investments for First Nations engagement in the Cannabis Act review. However, that review is expected to be completed before the budget is released this spring. The federal government is not obligated to accept the 359 recommendations, including adjusting the cannabis excise rate. David Klein, CEO of Smith Falls, Ontario-based Canopy Growth Corp., told MJ Biz Daily that the committee's recommendation to adjust the excise formula is a testament to the broad political consensus behind these changes, which address some of the most critical issues facing the Canadian cannabis industry today. We encourage the federal government to rapidly implement these recommendations, which will meaningfully improve the financial health of the industry, and remain committed to working collaboratively to support the long-term sustainability of the cannabis industry in Canada. Nice to see that there is at least some discussion of making some changes to the excise tax. Now, how long will it take before that becomes reality? And to a local news source for our next story, this is from Castanet.net. Kelowna's Avant Brands set several financial records during the 23 fiscal year. A Kelowna cannabis company continues to go in the right direction. Avant Brands on Thursday announced several records it achieved during the 2023 fiscal year, including gross revenue, cash flow from operations, and adjusted earnings before interest, taxes, depreciation, and amortization. Gross revenues climbed to $30.2 million, a 33% increase from the previous year. Operations cash flow surged by 256% to $5.4 million, and adjusted EBITDA hit a new high of $4.4 million, up 132% compared to 2022. Overall, the company produced a net loss of $1.5 million, but that's much improved over its $8.5 million loss during the 2022 fiscal year. We're thrilled by the remarkable growth across all key financial metrics during fiscal year 2023, showcasing our dedication to strategic excellence and operational efficiency, Avant Brands founder and CEO Norton Singhaven said in a press release. The successful integration of the Flower Group Okanagan sets the stage for even greater success in fiscal year 2024 and beyond, bolstering our expansion efforts and strengthening our position at a global scale. Additionally, the two strategic acquisitions we made during the fiscal year 2023 underscores our commitment to long-term success and maximizing shareholder value in a dynamic market. The acquisition of Flower Group Okanagan has been a big development for the company, positioning Avant for future growth. The company's expansion in global distribution channels, with a 70% increase, and the buyout of 3PL Ventures indicate its strategic advancement and commitment to enhancing shareholder value. And that's a story from Castanet.net, and it's nice to hear of a cannabis company doing well. And once again, let me thank you so much for being a listener. I truly appreciate the fact that you are here. Whether it's 1 week, every week, doesn't matter. I appreciate it either way. Thank you so much for being here. And now, as usual, let's finish with a little bit of humor. What do you call a snowman who smokes cannabis? Frosty the Dupe Man. Why did the cannabis leaf go to therapy? It had too many issues to roll with. What did one cannabis plant say to the other? We'd be good together. Why did the tomato turn red when the cannabis plant walked into the room? It saw the salad dressing. How do you know you have too much cannabis? When you start seeing joint ventures everywhere. And that's probably the time for me to finish. And now, let me remind you that next week, we will have the interview with Daniel Baer from Humber College in relation to weed out misinformation. There's been a bit of a delay while they've been finishing things up, but we will have that interview next week. That wraps it up for episode 146 of the Cannabis Podcast.
From the Cannabis Infused Studio, high above the Okanagan Valley, this was the Cannabis Podcast.
Thanks for listening to today's show. To check out more great cannabis podcasts, go to podconnects.com. Here's a preview of one of our other shows.
99.9% of our DNA is identical. It's a 0.1% that truly makes us different and unique. And that's what the show is about. Find out that 0.1% about your favorite guests. Find out what music they like, their first cannabis experience, and even what their room looked like growing up. But more importantly, or as important, their journey. Learn what makes them unique on Everything Is Personal.